This program contains general information about legal matters and should not be used as an alternative to legal advice for your specific case. If you have any specific questions about any legal matter, you should consult Greg Leiter or other professional legal services providers. You should never delay seeking legal advice, disregard legal advice, or commence or discontinue any legal action because of information from this program. Welcome to Personal Injury Straight Talk on 1340 WJOL, brought to you by Greg Leiter, lead attorney with Leiter Law Offices. And here's your host, legal expert and your legal advocate, Greg Leiter.
Good afternoon, and thanks for spending some time with me this afternoon. We're going to talk about some personal injury issues, as always, feel free to give us a call at 815-254-7300. If you have any questions or want to speak off the air, as always, 815-723-7600. I'm happy to talk to you off the air as well. I wanted to start today, and I know this is something in the news that everybody has heard and seen probably ad nauseum by now, but last week, the German Wings Airbus A320 plane crash in the French Alps in France. Obviously, tragic, a horrific accident, and I call it an accident, and we'll talk more about that. How much of an accident is it, really? But we know that the plane was taking off from Barcelona, Spain, intended to land in Dusseldorf, Germany. We know German Wings is it's a low-cost airline. It was started back in 2002 and was ultimately taken over by the Lufthansa Group in 2009. And we unfortunately are also aware that there were no survivors to the accident, or the incident, I should say. 144 passengers were on board. Amongst them were a couple of babies. There were six crew members. There was a class full of exchange students. We also know that half the passengers were of German citizenship. And we talked before, is this really an accident, or was this a deliberate act? Over the news and the days following the occurrence, there's been a lot of talk on the mental status and the intentions of this co-pilot, and trying to piece together like a puzzle what information was known by German Wings and Lufthansa before the incident and what they should have known. And there were reports that were coming out that said that the co-pilot, Andreas Lubitz, that had a mental condition and that he hid it from his employer. There are reports that are out that says that he was suffering from depression and that he was excused from work by his neuropsychologist for a period that included the day of the crash. And there are allegations that he, in fact, ignored the advice of his doctors, and he reported to work without informing his employer of his medical condition and his situation. So that's the question. Was this a suicide on behalf of the co-pilot? Is this an act of terror? And I think, you know, over time with the investigation, these questions will be answered. But it raises a number of questions that are relevant to civil litigation and some legal questions, such as any psychological monitoring on behalf of this co-pilot's employer. Here is a position as a co-pilot where you're putting hundreds of lives a day, thousands over time, in his hands. He's ultimately responsible for the health, the safety, the well-being of these passengers. And then the question is, what monitoring should his employer have done during the course of his employment? Is there psychological monitoring? Is there screening? And that begs the question, if had there have been psychological monitoring or screening during the course of his employment, was this a preventable incident? So that's one question. We also know that that the rule of the two-person cockpit rule that probably would have prevented it. That's a rule that's in place here in the United States since this occurrence. It has become a bit more widespread and notorious now in airlines. But, you know, that question, if there was a flight attendant in the cockpit at the time the co-pilot left the cabin, is this an occurrence that that would have been preventable? So, you know, the Lufthansa Group, and as sad and as tragic as this event is, and I think we all know that at the end of the day, the reality of it is that there's going to be litigation. And, you know, we've got 144 passengers, and their families are most certainly going to pursue a cause of action for the wrongful death of their loved ones. And, you know, a lot of instances there's going to be quick settlements. You've got families of the deceased with children that need to be fed. They need to go to school. And I anticipate that a lot of the victim's families are going to look for fast resolution to their causes of action. And, you know, at the end of the day, Lufthansa and its insurance carriers are going to be in big trouble. And, you know, we're not talking one insurance company. There's probably about 10 insurance companies that back Lufthansa as well as reinsurance. So, you know, it's billions of dollars at stake. And Lufthansa has gone ahead already, and they have compensated each relative of the victims $54,000 just from the onset. And that doesn't constitute a settlement on their behalf or anything like that, but that's just an initial payment. And, you know, the payments are being made. There's something called the International Montreal Convention, and that is made up of a number of countries that sets forth rules and regulations that deal with just this situation. It's kind of interesting, you know, they paid $54,000 off the get-go to these to the relatives of the victims. Yet under the International Montreal Convention, it allows for up to $139,000 per relative. So, you know, at the end of the day, this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, the damages in this case are going to be well into possibly billions of dollars. And, you know, it's going to be unlimited at the end of the day. So feel free to give us a call, share your thoughts on the issue, 815-254-7300. You know, and one of the issues that's going to have to be addressed from the get-go is which law do we apply for this occurrence? You know, it's international law. It's a plane that took off in Spain. So arguably you can apply the law from Spain with a destination in Germany. So we could also look to German law to govern. But the accident or the incident, again, itself took place in France. So, you know, perhaps there's French law that comes into play. And, you know, arguments are going to be made from the passengers' families, you know, that potentially the law from the country in which the passengers originated should actually govern. You have an airline that I would say submits itself to the jurisdiction of you know, of many countries, many you know, many geographical areas that all could arguably have a claim for you know, to apply the law of that jurisdiction. And it's an important question that is ultimately going to need to be answered, because the laws obviously differ from country to country. There are certain countries that don't allow for recovery for pain and suffering. And, you know, as horrific as it was in this particular case, you know, they were able to recover the black box after the incident. And it was reported that on the black box there were passengers that were screaming before the collision. So it was imminent to them. They saw it. They saw themselves approaching the mountains, and I think they saw their lives flashing in front of them. And there's going to be, depending on the country and the law that's applied, there's going to be a pain and suffering pre-death claim that is made on behalf of these victims. And again, it's allowed in some countries, and in other countries it's prohibited. So there's a number of legal questions that are going to need to be answered, and you know, I'm sure with time they will be. And you know, just as a side note, generally personal injury damages are lower in Europe than in the United States. So yeah, that's a trend to keep in mind. And I'll tell you what, we're going to talk a bit more about the duty of Lufthansa, what they knew or should have known before the incident. And we'll talk a bit about generally when a company is liable for the acts of its employees, and see how we can apply it over here in the United States. So let's take a quick break and we will be right back. Thanks.
Maybe you were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Maybe your company wasn't following procedure. Either way, you're injured, and now you just want some justice and to pay all these bills piling up. Call attorney Greg Leiter. Greg Leiter has helped hundreds of people in Will County receive millions of dollars to cover lost wages, medical bills, and mortgage payments. If you've been hurt on the job or in an accident, stop guessing and find out if you have a case. Greg Leiter will work with you personally and fight for your rights. What's more, Greg's background in the insurance industry gives him inside insight into how to win your case. It's invaluable experience other personal injury attorneys just don't have. Don't wait another day. Call Greg Leiter at 815-723-7600. That's 815-723-7600. The sooner you call, the sooner you can get help. If you have a personal injury, workers' comp, or medical malpractice case, or know someone who does, call Greg Leiter today at 815-723-7600. Experience and expertise to win your case.
Darcy GMC Buick at 2022 Essington Road is proud and excited to be the sponsor of the Racers Forum. Stop by Darcy today and check out the huge selection of new and used cars and trucks. Darcy can also find almost any type of used vehicle you are looking for in a very short time. If you don't see it on the lot, be sure to ask them to find one. They'll do it. Take it from the guys at Racers Forum. Darcy GMC Buick is Joliet's dealership at 2022 Essington Road. Call them today at 815-439-5500 or check them out online at darcymotors.com.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes, from back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
Will County's News Talk Sports, 1340 WJOL.
Welcome back. 815-254-7300 is the number. The office, 815-723-7600. We were talking before the break about the plane crash in the French Alps. We were discussing the potential laws that that may govern any claims that are brought on behalf of the company. And I think the point to take out of it is that there's no clear-cut answer as to which country, which law is going to apply. There's nuances, there's differences between the laws of the countries in terms of the compensation, what you can get compensated for and what you can't. And, you know, obviously this compensation should be the last thing, you know, on people's minds when hearing the story and reviewing the, you know, the video and the interviews. But, you know, at the end of the day, we all know that it's going to ultimately come down to litigation. We know that Lithuania is going to ultimately pay, and their insurance companies are going to pay millions, if not $1 billion, to try to compensate the families of the victims. And, you know, we had mentioned before the 1999 Montreal Convention, which is made up of a number of countries that sets forth guidelines and protocols to deal with situations such as this. And under the Montreal Convention, it states that in order to avoid liability, a carrier actually has to prove that the crash was not due to negligence or another wrongful act by its employees. So contrary to the law here in the States, this kind of shifts the burden to the carrier to disprove their involvement with the incident. And we know that that there's no way that that can possibly happen in this situation. We also know that initial payments under the Montreal Convention were made off the go to relatives of the victims, and we also know that that is only going to be the tip of the iceberg. But we were talking about the mental state of the co-pilot, and whether or not there should have been psychological monitoring or evaluation by the employer during the course of his employment to determine whether or not such an incident would be foreseeable. And you know, at this point, to make an opinion without really knowing all the facts, all the information. Well, we do know that he was seeking help from a psychologist, a neuropsychologist, who had written him doctor notes to keep him off of work. We know that the co-pilot disregarded those notes, hid his condition from his employer, and ultimately attended work, and this was the result. So, you know, to put blame on the employer at this point based on what we know, I think is probably going to be tenuous at best. But, you know, generally, a corporation is going to be held liable for the acts of its employees, okay? But just like most laws in the States, there is an exception to that rule. And the exception is that the corporation will not be held liable for criminal acts of their employees. And these are considered acts that are for the own personal interests of the employees and not in furtherance of the purpose or the goals of the company. And in Illinois, we look at analysis, which is trying to determine whether or not the acts of the employee are what's called within the scope of their employment. And there's a number of factors that we look at for that, what the employee was doing at the time, what the employee was using to accomplish what he was doing at the time. But there, like I said, there's a number of factors. And then we can apply it to this tragedy in the French Alps and say, okay, did the airline know at the end of the day that this co-pilot was a risk? Is there a potential wrongful hiring cause of action against them, or wrongful retainment of the employee? I'm sure at some point they're going to get into the screening process of new co-pilots or new pilots within the company. And, you know, I'd imagine after a situation like this, you're going to have airlines all over the world that are reevaluating their hiring process and their screening process, what they require from potential applicants in terms of their physical, their mental status, you know, what kind of background check was performed in this particular instance. You know, these are questions that are all relevant. Does, at the end of the day, does the employer have a right, once they've hired an employee, to periodic medical checks or medical evaluations? You know, we know here in the United States there's so much emphasis and so much put behind the privacy of a patient's medical conditions and medical records. And, you know, that bodes the question when you've got an employee that's going to be responsible for the lives of hundreds or thousands of people. Does that employer at the end of the day, or should that employer have a right to be informed of its employees' medical conditions that that could affect, you know, again, the lives of thousands of people? So, you know, again, these are issues that I imagine are going to be explored by airline companies throughout the world. And you know, there's another question that we can ask ourselves: what about the doctor that was treating this co-pilot? We don't know too much about him yet, or at least we haven't heard too much. But if he's providing the co-pilot with psychological treatment, and he knows the occupation of this co-pilot, should he have reasonably known or foreseen that? He was potentially putting lives at risk. You know, he had written the co-pilot notes so that he can stay off of work. Is there a duty on the doctor to follow up and make sure that the co-pilot wasn't, in fact, going to work? Or, you know, notifying the employer that, you know, hey, this guy is a risk. You know, doctors have legal, they have ethical obligations. Doctors are mandated reporters here in the United States, at least. And what that means is that a doctor has a duty, ethical and legal, to report if he knows that a patient has committed bodily harm to another in the past, or if there's an imminent threat that this patient is going to in the future cause bodily harm or injury to somebody else. So, you know, those are the doctor's duties here in the United States. You know, do they differ overseas in Germany? You know, I don't know right now. I don't know what the duties, what the responsibilities, you know, of this co-pilot's treating physicians are. But I can tell you, if this was taking place in the United States, and this guy was getting treatment in the United States, that it would certainly be an issue that that people would be looking into and exploring. So, again, feel free to give us a call with any thoughts or questions on the Germanwings Airbus 320 plane crash in the French Alps. 815-254-7300. Also feel free to share any thoughts or questions off the air at the office at 815-723-7600. Now we're talking about the airplane in Germany, and you know, there's also plenty of litigation here in the United States having to do with what's called a common carrier. And you know, this airplane in Germany would be considered a common carrier. Some examples here in Illinois of common carriers would be the CTA, Metra, Greyhound, and we've all heard over the past, you know, over the course of the years, we see in the media the Metra derailment. We see CTA accidents all the time. I think I read somewhere a statistic that said that every day, was it every day or every few hours of every day, there's a CTA bus involved in an accident. You know, that's a specific area of the law. And, you know, if God forbid you've been involved in one of these occurrences, I strongly advise you to seek legal counsel as soon as practical. I can tell you we've talked in the past about statute of limitations for certain cases. And I know I've seen in the past that when you have certain entities such as the CTA, that there are restrictions, there's shorter limitations, and additional hoops that need to be jumped through in order to pursue a claim. For example, I think we've talked that personal injury statute of limitations are generally 2 years. But there has been a requirement that if you're involved in a CTA accident, that you send notice to, and it's a very specific notice that you have to send to the CTA, within, you know, it's about 6 months. And if you don't do that, then you're forever barred from bringing a claim. And, you know, there's public policy reason behind, you know, that rule, that law. And that's to allow, you know, with the CTA, the mass transit, as many people that they have going through their terminals every day. It essentially allows the CTA an opportunity to perform whatever investigation that they need to perform. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind. But, you know, common carriers have a duty to its passengers. And they have what's called a heightened duty, okay? They need to put forth extra care, extra caution to their passengers. And that's the law. They've got a heightened duty. They have to go above and beyond to ensure its safety's the safety of its passengers. And that duty is not only during transport, but that's while you're getting on or off a train or a bus. If you're sitting or standing on the platform waiting for a train, or a bus and the CTA or Metra fails to maintain the platform or the walkway, they're going to be held to that heightened level, and they're going to be responsible for injuries, that occurred. And, you know, generally trains are safe for the riders, but, you know, we all know if we've driven or been on public transportation, there's plenty of jarring, there's sudden stops and starting, doors opening and closing suddenly. We've seen in certain stations inadequate or poor lighting. You know, we've got in certain cars, we've seen defective or unsafe conditions. We've seen defective escalators, stairs, turnstiles. There's plenty of features in a train or bus station or actually during transport that can cause injuries, including electrocution. So these are all things to look out for, to be cautious of. And again, the CTA, Metra, Greyhound, they've got that heightened duty to make sure that the ride and not only the ride, but ingress and egress of the passengers is of utmost safety concern. So we are actually running out of time today. But as always, I appreciate you taking the time to tune in and listen. Be happy to talk to you off the air. And in the meantime, hope that everyone has a happy and safe week. Enjoy the weather. Be safe outside. Be safe while you're driving. And we look forward to talking to you again next week. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to Personal Injury Straight Talk. Tune in every Tuesday at 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 1340 WJOL for another half hour packed with valuable legal information to help protect you and your loved ones. Brought to you by Greg Leiter with Leiter Law Offices.